So we left off yesterday with the basic question that all the Achronim deal with is that on the one hand we have a halacha that Rov is mutter, like the Rav Mahatel, so we're allowed to follow the principle of Rov. Yet sometimes you also find that Rov works against you, sometimes Rov works l'chumra. So the shaila becomes as follows. Sometimes you have certain areas of halacha, but there's a special halacha that a suffik is mutter. So the question is something considered to be a suffik when there's a Rov pointing against you? So that seems to be the basic hakir that we raised in yesterday's chabura, in terms of how do we understand the nature of Rov. Is Rov mevara the suffik? Rov is machariah the suffik? Rov tells me that it's not called the suffik anymore. If it's not called the suffik, then you're not entitled to follow the kudos of suffik in that particular area of halacha. But we say no, the robe isn't machri anything, robe isn't mevar anything, robe is just a din anoga, the suffix is b'mkoyma amed. The Torah says you're allowed to, you follow robe. So in a situation where there's a unique halacha called suffix, so the halacha of the suffix will still apply not within the existence of a robe. So we had seemingly contradictory indications from Chazal. One was a sugya in terms of Maisa Behema, where the Gemara, this way the Rishon explained the Gemara, seems to say that it's called suffix Maisa Behema even if there's a robe working against you. In contrast to suffix Mamza, would seem to indicate that it's not called a suffix when you have a Rov being Machriya. So we spoke yesterday about the Sheish Maisa's approach to the problem and Rabbi Vega's approach to the problem. So there's one last approach to the problem that I want to just mention for a little bit before we move on to the next part of our discussion. And that's the suggestion of the Dvar Avram. So the Dvar Avram is a Kovner Rav right before the war. So the Dvar Avram has a fascinating insight into this. The Dvar Avram says that he thinks that the difference is not so much between different types of Rovs, the way the Sheish Maisa went, and not so much whether it's a localized shiloh, whether it's a kota kula shiloh, the root of kivega took. Rather, the difference is there's a fundamental difference between the halacha of suffik mamzer and the halacha of suffik maisa behema. Maisa behema is the halacha of svira, says the Dvar Avram. You have to count the numbers. You count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and the 10th one is considered to be kaddish. So says the Dvar Avram, there's a din that whenever the halacha requires svira, svira has to be absolute vados. There cannot be any shape or any form of ambiguity when you're counting. If you don't know how to count, if you can't count straight till 10 without being not sure what number you're up to, that's nishkeit svira in halacha. So says the Dvar Avram, the Shiva Megubetism of Metzia never meant to say that in other areas of halacha, it's still called the suffik in the presence of a rov. Once you have a rov, that's over, finished. Rov is the end of the story. Rov is machri everything. But when you have unique halachas of svira, so that trumps even the halacha of rov. Whenever the halacha requires svira, svira has to be absolute of adult. So the Dvar Avram coins a phrase that it's svira b'suffik is nishkeit svira. So it's based on this understanding that the Dvar Avram then goes one step further to Paskin Shai Lamais that he was presented with. And what would that halacha be if a person finds themselves in the middle of Sviras HaOmer and they have no idea what day it is? They don't know, it's day 31, 32, 33, they're not sure. So how would you Paskin? So I would say, you should count each day in something. All right, how are you going to make the bracha? You have to figure it out, Kasha Lamaisa. But in terms of the mitzvah of Sviras HaOmer, so Misafik, you should count each one of the days that you're Misupik about. So the Dvar Avram says no. The Dvar Avram says that you're plucked from Sviras Lagamri. You don't have to count Bechiyah Gavna. Why? Because if you count and say today is maybe 17 or maybe 18, that's not a sphira. That's not a sphira, but there is vaga. Whenever there's any latest asafik in your sphira, a sphira of asafik is just a sphira, and he bases himself on that chitim kubetzis that we mentioned yesterday by Maisid Haim, which is also a halacha of sphira.
Is
better not to count? He said, you don't get anything by counting. He said, it's a meaningless statement. To say today is maybe 7, maybe 8, that's a meaningless statement in halacha. That's not called a sphere. So then, notwithstanding this gewaldic chiddush, like Mamash Adin Derais, and Dimas Sphere Seimer, the Dvar Avram then backs out, and he says that he realizes that he's against the Rishonim. Which Rishon is he against? He's against the Baal HaMor at the very end of Maseches Pesachim. The Baal HaMor raises a question, how come this man has said we don't count Sveika the Yom of Sphere Seimer? Those who live in Chutzlaret, so when it comes the third night of Sphere, they should say, today is 3 days to Sphere, or maybe 2 days to Sphere, today is 4 days to Sphere, maybe 3 days. Each night we should count double, Misafek. So the Baal HaMor says, that we really should have done that. Technically speaking, we really should have counted misafek. But Chazal could not possibly have formulated such a mitzvah because then when you get to the last day of Shavuos, so it's really the quote unquote the 50th day of Sviras. So what are you going to do? It's here, it's time to celebrate Shavuos, and you're going to get up and you're going to come to Shavuos and you're going to say, today is maybe the 49th day of Sviras. That's going to share the Yom Tov of Shavuos. So the Chachamim are not going to institute a din derabbanan called Yom Tov Sheni Shagolios at the expense of the Kedush of Shavuos Deraisa. That's going to be a big zilzul. That's going to detract from the celebration of Shavuos. So the Meir Chazal didn't want to institute a Sfeika Biyoma, and they just followed the robe, they followed whatever the Din D'Oraisa is. You can assume that probably the first day was really the correct day of Yom Tov. So comes the Avraham and says that the Baal HaMor disqualified the Svira of a double day based on pure technical grounds. Because of this quirk of Shavuos being the 50th day of Svira, it's going to be a bizayin to the Kedusha D'Oraisa. But if not for that, the Baal HaMor had absolutely no qualms, he had no problems with the person getting up and saying today is maybe 16 or maybe 17. He didn't consider that to be problematic. Why isn't that problematic? According to his Yisoy, according to the Avraham's Yisoy, that a Svira Misafik is not a Svira, so you cannot even begin to discuss such a Shai. How can you even begin to raise the issue of capping the sphere of Yad Vashem Shagolias vis-a-vis sphere Omer? That'll disqualify your entire sphere. If you're going to count 2 days of sphere, so that's going to mean you're not sure which is the real day of sphere. But man, no sphere is going to be commandalesa. So says the Zvara from, he throws his hands up in front of the Baal HaMor. The Baal HaMor said it. The Baal HaMor is clear that a sphere misafik is called a sphere, even though the Zvara from honestly thought that it would appear from that sheet of Kabetz as a Navod, that Gemara of Metzia Navod. That's not the case. So Achopanim, we have three different Mahalchim in the Gedolei Acharonim how to resolve this problem. One was the Sheh Shmaitza yesterday, the difference between Rubit the Isa Kaman, Rubit the Leisa Kaman. One's a beer and one's a Dinanoga. The other is Rubit Kinaeger, the difference between whether it's a localized Suffolk like Maisa Behema or a Kolotarakula Dika Suffolk like who's the father. And the third was at least the Dravram's suggestion, even though at the end of the day, Dravram himself seemed to backtrack from that suggestion.
You're not something in the camping, the entire camping in general.
Would
you say that
the
sex
fake
of whether you're
camping
or whether
it's one day? No, that's not. It's something in the day, right? You're not sure which day you're up to, right? That would be called the suffix sphere. But again, drive myself back then. So getting back to our general.
Well,
it was only the Shmaitza really emphasized the robe being Muvara versus Hanhaga in terms of conceptual types of robe. But Kiveger applied it to whether the robe was being used in other areas of Allah. The Avraham is legitimately different. The Avraham is just saying that robe does whatever it does, but Sevira trumps whatever it does. Rove is a biru, yeah. Rove is a biru, but sphere is different. Sphere, the rules are different. You may be saying it depends what kind. It depends whether the rove had to be invoked in other areas of Allah. Once you invoke in other areas of Allah, then it carries the day. So a good point of it clearly is a din d'oraisa of rove, and rove works the bein l'kula bein l'chumra. The original example that we gave of rove is the case of Tetesha Chaniyah. So you have 9 stores that are selling kosher, 1 store is selling treif. You find a piece of meat on the ground, so then the din is at least in the Torah, you're permitted to eat the piece of meat, achrei rab mahatos. So notwithstanding this famous application of the din of rove with d'oraisa, that same raisa that illustrates the case of Tetesha Chaniyah illustrates another case where rove also seemingly should apply, and puts the brakes on Rove and says Rove doesn't apply B'chei Agavna. What's the case? So the same numbers, mamash, statistically the exact same. There are 10 stores, 9 are selling kosher, 1 is selling trade. The same cedar lane from yesterday, you got the 9 stores, one trade store. But here's the latest of Suffolk. Rather than the person finding a piece of meat in the middle of the floor, in the middle of the street, the person walked into one of the stores to go buy meat. And now he doesn't remember an hour later which store did he walk into. Did he go? Did he buy the sandwich in Noah's Ark? Or did he buy the sandwich in Chayes? Because I don't know, it's another trade for a store. He can't remember. So, l'chaor, if you would ask me, I would say, so good, so that's 9 out of 10. The same way that if you find a piece of meat on the floor, so there's a 90% chance that it's kosher meat, sacheram mahatos, you're permitted in a turn to eat the meat. So, too, if the person can't remember which store he went into, I would say the exact same thing. So comes the Bryce and says, no, that's not true. That's what's called in Aloha, a magic word called kavua. What in the world does kavua mean? So, kavua means that here, the dovra asr, the dovra mutter, a kavua bimkomo. Nothing is moved, everything is sitting in its right place. That means the trefa store is over here, the kosher store is over here, and you as a person are walking to the dovra also or to the dovra mutter. In the first case, that's what's called piresh, because the piece of meat has left its place of origin, the piece of meat has traveled, the piece of meat has fallen on the floor, and that's what's called called the parish, meruba parish. But in the second case of the braisa, where the latest asafik is not where this meat came from, but rather the latest asafik is which store did I walk into, but the dovra asur and the dovra mut, everything is kavua b'mkomo, so everything changes. That's not considered to be robe anymore. The whole klal of kol de parish, meruba parish doesn't apply. And on this we say a new klal. The new klal is called kol kavua kemechta mechta dami. But any time you have the issa kavua b'mkomo, so that's called the mechta mechta, that's called the safik ashokol, and safik deraisa luch. chumrah. Where in the world did this halacha come from? So the Gemara derives this from Pesukim. You can never figure this out. For a million years, no one would ever say such a thing. So Gezeiras HaKosav, the Gemara derives from a pasuk. It's a somewhat of a complicated drasha that appears at the end of the first paragraph of Maseches Ksubis, Va'arav Lo V'Kamalov, some of you may have learned the Gemara. We're leaving out the details of what the drasha are, but Lamais, it's a din midaraisa. Clearly, it's a din midaraisa derived from a pasuk. Even though, again, statistically, it's all the same, it doesn't matter. There's apilomdus. Fundamentally, there's a difference between whether the nature of the suffix is such that the davar shall shenolad bar suffix has been poresh mimakomo, or whether the davar shenolad bar suffix is omid mimakomo. So, notwithstanding this din d'araisa of kavua, the term kavua is used in other places in Shas to describe something slightly different. This case of kavua, the case of the Teisha Chanuyos, and the latest asafik is which store I went into, so this is for sure din d'araisa, but the Gemara in Maseches Vachim uses the principle of kavua in a slightly different context. The Gemara is discussing a shaila when you have a tarovas. We haven't even begun to discuss any of the kolam of tarovas, of mixtures, yet. Hopefully we'll talk about them in a couple of shirim down the line, but there's, generally speaking, there's a principle called things being bottled barov. If you have, let's say, for argument's sake, two pieces of kosher meat and one piece of trefa meat, they get mixed together and you can't tell which is which. So for sure, midaraisa chad betray bottle. Whether lamaisa, that's always true. So hopefully we'll talk about it a little bit later on. But midaraisa, for sure, there's such a locha that chad betray bottle, that the one piece of trefa meat is bottled and the two pieces that are kosher. So the Gemara tells us that although basically midarais everything is bottle, there are certain things that are not bottle midarabonim. There are certain chumras that the chum made that the chum considered these objects to be dvarim chashuvim, and dvarim chashuvim, generally speaking, are not bottle. So one of the many gzeiras derabonim, one of the many sum derabonim that the chum made in this area is that balechayim ena betalim. Let's say you have three animals and they're alive and well. Two of them are mutter and one of them is asur, and now they get mixed up together. So then you don't have the right to say, well, chiram hatas, it's wrong. I can shecht and go ahead and eat it. No, to say that that it's not considered to be batal, and therefore it's mechza mechza, and you have to be concerned. What could possibly be the case of a balchai that's usher? It's very hard to construct a case of someone which is alive, which is treif. So the Gemara has all sugyas and mishnayos about this, about a yidishu hanisko perhaps, or a chatas shalach lemisa. There's a special halacha Moshe Mesinai that if a person sets aside a korban chatas, and then for whatever reason the korban chatas wasn't able to be brought, either because you brought another animal instead, or because the korban chatas got too old to be brought, or other reasons. So there's a special halacha Moshe Mesinai that this chatas now becomes asur, and it has to be set aside to die by itself, and put it away where it's going to die by itself. But right now you're not allowed to use it for anything. So it's also asur by no. So you can have cases here and there of animals which are balichayim, which are asurim de'achil, asurim ba'ano'a. So what if you have a tarovus of such animals? So the Mishnah says in Maseches Vachim that even if you have a million of kosher animals, if you're mixed up with one of these quote-unquote trefa animals, so everything is asur, and you don't apply the principle of rov, because that's not called rov, because balichayim are not betalim. So that din the balichayim and betalim is only a chumah midirabanan. So in that sugya, the Gemara also uses the term kavua. The Gemara also alludes to this halach of kavua. And the Gemara says that kol kavua kenechza mechza dami. So to go ahead and take one of these animals and to eat it, to shecht it and to eat it, that would be a problem, a violation of kol kavua kenechza mechza dami. So Tosfos points out in several places that this kavua that the Gemara speaks about in Zvachim is not exactly the same kavua that that we've been speaking about in the first half of the Shia. Tosfos says that in order to be kavua mid araisa, that only applies if the isser and the heter on the karim b'mkomo. That means I know not only is there a davra also here, not only is there a davra mutter here, but I could point to the davra also. I know this store says treif on it, and this store says kosher on it. Everything is nikah b'mkomo. Why is there a suffix? The latest of suffix stems from the fact that I don't remember which store I went into. But klape the davra also is nikah b'arne b'mkomo. Not only is it stationary, but it's nikah and stationary. It's recognizable as a davra also. So that's kavua d'araisa. That's the gzeres akwasa that kol kavua kemetza metza dami. Over here, midda araisa, this is not called kavua, says Taisus, because midda araisa, you can't tell which animal is which. I know I have a treif animal in here. I know I have one davar asur in here. And midda araisa, we really should have followed rov, but midda rabbanon, we can't follow rov because balchayim are chashuv and ain't a betelim. So the meila, the chachamim said that you can't eat any of these animals. So we call this, we make believe, we borrow the term called kavua. We also call this kavua, but this is not really kavua. This is a different, totally different type of kavua. The first is a kavua diaraisa when the iser is nikah b'mkomo. The second is an iser kavua midirabonon when the iser is not nikah b'mkomo. Normally, when things are not nikah, they're betalim. But here, there's a quirk with the iser midirabonon called balechayim and betalim. So lemaisa, Tosfos is just careful when you learn shemigeta yoredei the simu kufiyut the din of kavua. So you have to be careful because every other line in the Shulchan Aruch they start to talk about kavua, and you have to always ask yourself, what kavua are we talking about? Is this kavua diaraisa? Is kavua dirabonon? So basically, the defining feature of kavua diaraisa, at least the way it tells us, lines it up, is that the iser is not just kavua b'mkomo, but it's nikah b'mkomo as well. There is a shaila that comes up in the Rishonim concerning the dinim of kavua, and an important shaila. It's important both in terms of it could sometimes have ramifications for ma'isa, and number two, it's important for those who learn Maseches Matnas, because believe it or not, there's a parallel sugya that, in terms of Adam Zomim that relates to this sugya. So the shaila that the Rishonim raises as follows: classic kavua means that there are 10 stores, the original case of the Gemara, 9 stores selling kosher, 1 store selling trefe. Everybody knows that there are kosher stores here, and everybody knows there's a trefe store here, and I also know there's kosher and trefe. I wasn't paying attention. I walked into a store. I was on the phone. I wasn't careful where I bought. I walked out with a sandwich, and I don't remember which store I walked into. So that's classic kavua. Everything was not only was a kavua b'mkomo, not only was a nika b'mkomo, but it was yadua as well. Everybody knew that what's the davar also, what's the davar amuta. However, what would the halacha be as follows? If I think that all the stores are kosher in town, I think everything's under the RCBC, all the stores are kosher, and then I go into one store, I don't remember which store I went in, but I bought a sandwich, then all of a sudden there's a cold courier that comes out, all of a sudden T-Dex shows, they put out a sign that's saying, that store such and such, we just revoked Ashkacha, we just found the treifas in that store. So now I don't remember which store I went to, so should we invoke the principle of kavua or not? So in the first glance, yeah, because this is classic kavua. So since the latest asopic, there was no pirash, the latest asopic was which store did I walk into. I can't remember whether I walked into the store which I thought was kosher, which turns out Igloy Milson to be trade. So klachar, that's classic kavua. So comes the Ran and says, no, that's not called kavua. You know why that's not called kavua? Because b'shas naisa, when I went into the store, it wasn't even known yet that there was a davar asar. So kavua is a chiddush atayra, says the Ran. Kavua is such a chiddush, no one in a million years would have ever dreamt up the idea of kavua. So says the Ran, we have a rule, whenever you're dealing with chidushim, ein lecha ela mishas chidush of elach. Anyone learned the sugyas of Adam Zomim, that may sound, may ring a bell, a sugya in Baba Kav, we'll talk about a little bit more for you tomorrow as it relates to this. So comes the Ran and says, we have a rule when it comes to chidushim, that chidushim only begin to kick in once you're aware that the chidush exists. Once you're aware that the halach exists, then and only then the chidush continues. You're not done chidushim l'mafreya. Usually in halacha, we do look retroactively, we do go back in time sometimes in halacha, but in the realm of halachas which are begedah chidushim, we don't do that. And therefore, says the Ran, since Bishas Maisi, you didn't know there was a Dover Asa there, so then Kavua cannot possibly apply. So according to the Ran, there are now three conditions that are necessary to create Kavua. It has to be, the Yisr has to be Kavua B'mkomo, it has to be Nikar B'mkomo, and it has to be Yadua B'mkomo. Only if all three conditions are met, then and only then will Kavua kick in. Rove works from here on in. Now Rove works. But kavua, we have to be done kavua at the time when it was still kavua. So since at the time when I walked into the store when the issa was kavua, I didn't know that it was also yet. So now the shaila only begins when I read the kolkari that the straight food. At that point, the meat is already pirish. So from here on in, I cannot be makeup. So the Ra'ah disagrees with his Ran. The Ra'ah says that's not true. That kavua can work backwards also. Kavua can work retroactively. So we have to try to figure out, hopefully mention tomorrow, we'll see what exactly is the Nakudas Machlaisi in the Ran and the Ra'ah, and how this relates very much to a sugya that appears in terms of Adam's own.